Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonnerell, Julie Hayden.
Chuck literally just sat down. Chuck, he has not been here preparing carefully his opening statement. He literally, I heard him upstairs, just walked down. But you're right. Happy Party Friday. This from Jacob, and I absolutely agree. Happy New Year, everybody. It's going to be, I think 2023 is going to be great. Actually, I always like everything pretty much. So 2022 is good too. But today I want to talk about, there is a battle, not only with the Democrats, Chuck, wouldn't you say it's fair to say, but within the Republican Party, particularly in Colorado, but I think statewide, between the grassroots and the establishment. And I think some of the establishment rhinos are, as we head into 2023, launching sort of full assaults on all kinds of things on the grassroots people.
Yeah, well, they've been in control for forever, and they like it that way.
That's right. That's right.
And they suck, of course, but that doesn't seem to matter. We keep on, you know, Mitch McConnell. Is there any human being in the entire earth that think he sucks? I mean,
maybe his wife.
Oh no, she knows what I am. Yeah, that triple chin of his. Yeah.
And Carl Honegger, you can follow him at Twitter at Liberty Carl. We've had Carl on before, a political commentator. And Carl, I read this column in Campfire Colorado, which I believe is an Anschutz funded or at least an establishment funded website by a consultant from, guess where, Colorado Springs, Patrick Davis. And I guess he's got a pretty good resume. But when I read this, I'm like,
what's his good resume?
Around for a while. Let me just say that.
Good resume. Yeah, I can actually give you a little bit of my personal background of knowing Patrick.
Okay.
Because I don't want to speak any ill of him. I actually like the candidate that he worked with, Eric Odland. I personally supported Eric Odland during the primary in terms of, like, I cast my vote for him. I was a, and still am, the treasurer of the Brimfield County Republican Party. And so, of course, I did not, like, endorse him during the primary.
Right.
But Patrick Davis, I think, you know, found a good candidate to work with. And so that's kind of the background of maybe what he's saying is, like, maybe he's saying, hey, you know, we saw Eric Odland lose, we saw Barb Kirkmeyer lose, and so a lot of this is maybe like, we had some good candidates in this situation, let's make sure we continue to have good candidates. And I think, unfortunately, though, it's kind of doesn't fit with me what I've seen since 2012 when I started to be involved.
Well, and here's why I want to talk to you, because I'm gonna go, because you're being way too nice. This is the most idiotic proposal designed to destroy the Republican Party. I can't believe it. I mean, you talk about money having a role in politics and how it corrupts. This guy's plan, okay, and you can read it at Campfire Colorado, is to, number one, you have to pay to vote for a candidate in the primary at the assembly. And number two, if you want to be a candidate, you have to pay to be a candidate and pay the Republican Party. And we're not just talking a little bit. If you want to go to an assembly, first of all, he wants to get rid of the caucus. So forget grassroots. And don't worry, Kyle, I'll calm down because I want to talk to you about the dark money implications in this. He wants to get rid of the caucuses. He says we can have an assembly, which will essentially be recommendations. But if you want to go to one, you have to pay $200, almost 200 votes to pay for it. Sanders going, wait, who was saying this BS? Guy by the name of Patrick Davis, an establishment consultant. Now, let's say that you want to be a candidate, right? If you want to be a candidate, let's say you want to be a candidate in Adams County, you have to pay $5,000 to the county GOP. You want to run for the state house, you have to pay $10,000. Let's say you want to run for a congressional district, $50,000. You want to run for AG, well, under this guy's plan, you would have to pay $100,000. And to run for U.S. Senate and governor, you have to pay $250,000. And then you get on the ballot. This reminds me of years ago, the Catholic Church, what is their indulgences, right? You can commit all kinds of sins. And as long as you pay, everything is waived. This is insanity. I mean, pay to play raised to an entirely new, I mean, call me if I'm wrong, anybody, but this raised to an entirely new level.
Well, but now the Republican Party have more money to pay consultants like Patrick Davis.
This is the money all sick scheme, right?
Yeah, they're not getting
enough. Yeah. I think that directing money towards individual county parties is good, but the problem is that this is tied to getting on the ballot. It's tied to being a candidate. And so, for example, being a county candidate wouldn't work, for example, with where I live in Brimfield, because we technically have our council candidates are actually also
nonpartisan.
Yeah, county commissioners. And so that's a bad idea, in addition to the fact that really the general idea of why we have the party is to make sure that the people who are going to be the grassroots, knocking on doors, have been living in the area for a long time, kind of get to meet and vet candidates. And so the current system that we switched to recently doesn't do a good job of vetting candidates. And so part of that is, for example, we had this like open primary that's going to supposed to make sure we had good, better candidates. So in HD 32, in 2 years ago, it's during the pandemic, right? And so whether someone wants to homeschool or not, you had a homeschool mom running in the Republican primary, and then you had some guy who didn't have much experience, but he ended up on Facebook calling homeschool moms homeschool Hitlers. And so the thing is he still won the primary because this idea that as long as we get unaffiliated voters to vote, they will kind of moderate those kind of extreme ends of the Republican Party.
But that's why they'll try to put their finger
in this situation. It didn't actually happen. And so what people are worried about, actually, the people like Patrick and the consultant class, is they're worried about Trumpist candidates.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, well, this open primary is good, but we need to improve it. And so what I'm trying to say is like, hey, actually, all these progressive reforms, we can't out-Democrat the Democrats.
Right.
Let's keep the representative form of government. The caucus system is where you get a representative form of government. It's you have someone else who can make it that day, who has the time, who has the interest, who is staying informed in local politics, wants to make sure you get the best local candidates. They're going to then represent to the next level. Then they go on to the next level. And so having that representative form of government is the foundation of America, right? We're not a democracy.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, that's what the caucus system is, and the grassroots, et cetera. And one of the reasons I want to get into this, and then we can broaden this out, but when I read that and I thought, I got to call Carl, because you and Sarah Arnold did, and we had you on over a year ago about this. I mean, you guys, you can get this at freestatecolorado.com, the Blueprint 2.0, where you clearly outlined the Democrat dark money in Colorado, for instance, in an organization, Unite Colorado, and how the Democrats, who have way more money than the Republicans do in this state, in the form of Catherine Murdoch, funneled money to essentially fake Republican candidates. They said they were Republicans, but they were supported by Democrats. And it seems to me like
and one of them is now the minority leader in the House.
Yeah, so it worked.
And, you know, I'm not sure. Most of the Republican candidates today in the House and the Senate might as well be Democrats. We had one.
Well, when you look at Gabe Evans,
Gabe Evans comes out and says all he wants to do is see how he can help Democrats. Well, who needs them? Who needs him? Yes, he dresses nice, but he's a total worthless representing anybody. And that's what they've done. They do two things. They knock out Republicans where Republicans could lose. And then they pour all their money into far left candidates who represent, you know, the reddest of reds are represented by the pinkest of pink. And it's, the Republican Party's dead anyway.
No, Chuck, we're not going there yet. Carl, explain to people, because I think this is so important, because people think, oh, you're a conspiracy nut. They're not doing this. But they are doing this. And then I would like your analysis of how, if we were to adopt this pay-to-play system, if you're a Catherine Murdoch, you'd be going, yay, right?
Yeah. So I think the main thing is two things. They're going to sidestep the Republican Party, And then they're going to introduce a system that we see in Alaska that will make it so the Republican Party basically just kind of like rubber stamping candidates.
Right.
So, and the first thing, the reason why I think we can't introduce these reforms, like Patrick is saying, and try to out-Democrat the Democrats or out-progressive them, is in Colorado, we have other things going on. So we've got two new parties that are going to be on the ballot in the future. So one is the No Labels Party. So I was at my local Safeway. Someone was collecting signatures paid by Blitz Canvassing. You've probably heard them because they collect signatures for a lot of... So the No Labels Party, there's someone paying enough money to Blitz Canvassing to then make them an official party.
Okay.
A minor party. But the thing is, once you have a party on the ballot, you can have dump money into there. So the money's going to be going around Republican candidates. So if they're like, hey, this, there's no chance the Republican Party is going to be able to elect this person here, or there's a slim chance, they're going to use the No Labels Party. Or there's another party called the Forward Party. And the Forward Party, you guys know Andrew Lang, right? Andrew Yang.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he was 2020, was it 2020 or 2016?
2020. Democrat
presidential candidate.
Right.
Yeah. And so he's decided to join onto the Forward Party. He could basically create his own party. And so technically I'm a member, because there's no like official party to register with here in Colorado. You can just like go on their website. So I was staying in touch with their emails, and they said, hey, we're collecting signatures starting like December 11th to become an official minor party in Colorado.
Wow.
So you're going to have No Labels Party in 2023. You're going to have the Forward Party in 2023. Now, what that allows is it allows people to then push the ranked choice voting, final four, final five that we see in Alaska.
Right.
And the reason why is because Andrew Yang has officially endorsed the Alaska model. Now, he created the Forward Party after endorsing it so that he can then push that model and say, hey, we've got all these cool new parties. Let's let people vote for them. And so what we'll do is we'll have the jungle primary like we see in Alaska. So in Alaska, they had a primary where you have as many Republican people on the ballot. You could have as many libertarians, et cetera. And it was just vote for one person. And then the top four, they want to do five in Colorado. So the top four or five, then advance on to general election. Now, what that does
let me ask you, interrupt you one second. Is there a limit? Like, in other words, could I get like 1% of the vote, but if I was still in the top five, I would be on going forward, or is there a threshold?
Yeah. So they call it jungle primary because there's basically no rules except for, and by no rules. So if you wanted to register as a Republican and say you're a Republican and run in that primary in Alaska, because it's hard to win unless you're a Republican, the party can't say anything about that. So you could be Bernie Sanders. You move up there. You live a year there in Alaska. Say, I'm
and call myself a Republican.
Yeah, totally. So that's the whole problem with the no rules jungle primary. So they want to have that here in Colorado. And then they want to have ranked choice of voting in the general. So ranked choice of voting in the general, we can see this with Alaska is unique because they have one House member, one person that goes to Congress for the House of Representatives from Alaska. So you had Sarah Palin, which has great name recognition. You had Mary Peltolta. And then you had, let's see. So she was the Democrat. And then you had one other Republican running. And then you had like a Libertarian Party candidate. So in this November election in Alaska, they had their first official like ranked choice voting for candidates on the ballot for House of Representatives. Now, what happened is the ranked choice voting system is designed so you can have a spoiler.
Right.
It doesn't eliminate spoilers. And so basically Palin was the spoiler. So in Alaska, they lean very right and independent. So oftentimes the Libertarian candidate will get like 30% of the vote for US Senate. Only 13% of all Alaskan voters are registered Democrat. So very unlikely for a Democrat to ever go to Congress.
Okay.
Well, with the ranked choice voting system, the people who voted for Palin as their first choice, their second choice, a lot of them went to the Democrat. And so what happened is Palin did not win. So they eliminated her. Her votes then were split between the Democrat and the Republican. And in the end, the Democrat won.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's and what they, this, and the this system, is why they want to do this in Colorado, right? Well,
no, the system in Alaska was strongly supported by the establishment Republicans. That's why, notwithstanding the fact it gets Democrats elected, establishment Republicans love getting Democrats elected, just as long as the Trump
is able to get there. All you need is just a few. So even if we don't have establishment Republicans in Colorado coming out in favor of this in the future, all you need is what's called the Noah's Ark strategy. So this was designed by DaVita has a corporate office here in Denver, and their CEO is the one who pushed for getting rid of Gallagher. Right. And he's a left-wing CEO, former CEO. And he also pushed for the open primaries.
Right. So, Kent Theory.
Yeah. So Kent Theory says Noah's Ark strategy is how we're going to do this. So look at getting rid of Gallagher, Amendment B.
Right.
He found Walker Stapleton, right? Associated with the Bush family. Very smart guy, but he said, Walker, I need a conservative who can endorse getting rid of Gallagher. So he asked all these Republicans, and he found one, Walker Stapleton. So what he did is on the website, he said, we've got Walker Stapleton, and we've got, like, you know, I don't know if it's Jared Polis, he found some other Democrats. And then the Noah's Ark strategy makes it look like you've got equal amounts of political animals. So you've got Democrats, Republicans, now we'll have the Ford Party, we'll also have the No Labels Party. So then you'll be able to have, like, oh, you've got all these different party. You're not going to have a Libertarian, right? Because Libertarian candidates don't want anything to do with government. So they're going to have all these different parties endorsing whatever they want, Final Five, voting, et cetera. And so with that, that's how they're able to basically astroturf any idea and then throw a bunch of money behind it. Because if you look at Amendment B, getting rid of Gallagher, there was, like, barely any money. I think I did the math. It's like 1.6% of the money that was to get rid of Gallagher came from actual conservative so-called organizations. All the rest of the money was liberal. It was Kent Theory. It was one of the Gang of Four. And so that's what's going to happen with getting Final Five onto the ballot. They're getting the Ford Party created, and they're going to do that here in Colorado.
And let me, in case, because I know some people have just kind of recently joined us, we're talking with Carl Honegger about a couple of things, about this ridiculous proposal to basically make you pay to vote, literally make you pay to vote. And as long as you can pay $250,000, you can run for Senate or governor in the Republican Party, which is ridiculous. But you're adding what people don't know, and I had not even heard of this. So we're all used to seeing Republicans and Democrats on the ballot. But under this, these two new parties, now we're going to start seeing it after 2023, a Forward Party or a No Labels Party and the Forward Party, is that what it's called?
Four Party.
Okay. And so what's going to happen is, I mean, in its own way, what that's creating is, without calling it jungle voting, it's creating jungle voting in Colorado, basically.
Yeah. So the open primaries is actually something that they're trying to do everywhere.
Right.
And so they're very happy with the fact that in Colorado, we have all these progressive reforms. We have open primaries. We have mail-in voting, right?
Right.
We had that for a while. And then we also have easy ballot access for
lousy voter rolls.
Right.
Lousy voter rolls and the whole system.
The whole system.
One corrupt, immoral.
But they don't want to stop. That's the whole thing. They don't want to stop, which is why they're creating the No Labels Party, the Forward Party. So that's kind of why, like, I think you want to go back to what Patrick is talking about. Patrick's not including that in his mindset. So he's thinking about how do we reform the Republican Party so that we can perform better than we have in the past. But if you look at the past, for example, Barb Kirkmeyer, I'll give you some personal information. Barb Kirkmeyer ran for state Senate, right? Because Vicki Marble's term limited.
Yeah.
I actually, at one point in time, did register to run against Barb Kirkmeyer.
Okay.
And the reason why, Nick Klimastein worked on her as staff when she ran for Congress, but he was actually the county chairman and I was the treasurer. And so I was like, Nick, Barb Kirkmeyers is a nice woman, but she's not running for state Senate. She's running for Congress because she'd done that in the past. So I'm like, the reason why she's running for state Senate, she's going to run for Congress, which she did. Right.
Right. Now, what a coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah. So I could see the writing on the wall, but I was like, hey, I need to point out the fact that I am pro-life. Like, I have 7 kids, right? I am 100%. I live the pro-life life, right? But she, as Weld County Commissioner, made sure that there was a restricted access to taxpayer-funded Plan B, which is probably good. But the thing is that the Democrats are going to run on that, and they're just going to shove that down, you know, every single person's mailbox. They're going to run TV ads saying, oh, Barb Kirkmeyer wants to restrict access to contraceptives or whatever. Now, it worked. Barb Kirkmeyer lost her congressional race. And number two is Barb Kirkmeyer also had a libertarian spoiler.
Yes. So, and I think that had an impact in the CU race as well. And I know there's been some speculation as to how deliberate that was and where did that person come from. But let me back up because I want to talk a little bit about the money again as well. Because I think, again, we need to, well, let me back up. This is why, once again, the Republican Party needs to close its primaries. So you don't have, you have to be a registered Republican to vote. And I guess, you'd have to be a registered Republican to run then, right? So we could get rid of these forward parties, no label parties, at least until the general election, right? If we just closed our primary, and we could prevent all these people from people being Democrats, really, and the establishment from and money interests from manipulating the election, right?
Well, I think the main thing about the open primaries is so much of Colorado is not these third parties. These third parties are just front groups. Mm-hmm. And so they want to be able to use these third parties once we switch to a jungle primary. Sure. But the open primary is basically where you can manipulate it easier. I have a bunch of ads here, but I know you got the same ads. Everyone in Colorado got the same ads if they were not a Democrat. The Democrats put a bunch of money into the U.S. Senate race saying, we think that Joe O'Dea will be the strongest candidate.
Right.
Now, whether or not that was true, they are like, we don't want Joe O'Dea to run against our candidates. Right. So we're going to put a bunch of money in and we're going to convince unaffiliated voters who don't pay attention as much. That's why they're unaffiliated. They can't even commit by checking a freaking box to a political party. That's what an unaffiliated voter is. Unaffiliated voter is not an independent voter.
Right.
They may be independent minded, but they're not committed to a party. Okay.
Right.
So they put millions of dollars in to try to manipulate the election in favor of Ron Hanks.
Right.
Now, who knows if it made a difference or not, but they actually did not get Ron Hanks. Now, the Republican Party leadership was like, oh, good. The open primary system worked. It prevented Ron Hanks from getting elected, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is all it did was invite millions of dollars of Democrat dark money.
Right.
The moment you close the primaries, you stop the Democrat dark money.
And you
the
hurt
dark money.
And you hurt the consultants.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the consultants don't care where their money comes from, right? I mean, I know we had Ted Tripp, our friend, was saying Catherine Murdoch was openly asking him, hey, who should I give money to?
Which Republican
should I give? And she's a far right or far left liberal. Well, then going back to this Patrick Davis's thing where you would have to, number one, get rid of the caucus. So anyone, all you'd have to do, according to his plan, is be a registered Republican. And if you wanted to pay to vote for candidates at the assembly, roughly $200, you can do that. So my question is, what's to prevent somebody from like, a Catherine Murdoch and Unite Colorado or something from getting, I mean, do they allow proxies there? I mean, to getting a whole bunch of candidates, and it was to forget the whole fact that some people made $200 to go vote, to pay to vote is outrageous in the first place. But you know, I mean, some people don't even have it, but what's to prevent the dark money from flooding there, you know, for paying the fees for all of these people to go vote for certain candidates. And they can turn around and say, see, everybody in the Republican Party loves Joe O'Dea, right? Look at all these people that voted for him. I mean, I don't see anything in there that prevents that. Then you move to the candidates. Again, you would have to be a candidate, you would have to pay the Colorado Republican Party $250,000 up front to get on the ballot to run for governor. You'd have to pay to get on the ballot. There again, what's to prevent this dark money you're talking about? Forget having to spend it to send out, you know, tricky mailers. Just flood it with your, give your guy or your gal the $250,000 and then have them call themselves a Republican and run.
Yeah, I think that in terms of the Republican Party, I'm talking as if we want to keep the Republican seats we have and hopefully win future seats. This doesn't address, like we just talked about Barb Kirkmeyer and the Libertarian spoiler, right? Does it eliminate a Libertarian spoiler? No. Barb Kirkmeyer would still lose under these rules. Mm-hmm. What would have happened? Probably Lori Sane would not have been in the Republican primary.
Right.
Okay. But does that mean that Barb Kirkmeyer would have won? No. So how do you get more Republicans to win?
Well, here's what would have happened in the system, Carl, is the Republican Party would have had hundreds of thousands of dollars to give to consultants. That's what would have happened under the system, which who cares about the candidates? I mean, I mean, to me, that's all this can be designed to do, right?
So how do you think Colorado Republicans should do to get themselves more electable?
I think that maybe changing the way we elect is probably good, in addition to maybe making it so that we actually have like a stopgap in our legislature. So with Liberty Scorecard that I'm a part of, and also the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, we look at a ton of bills that come to the legislature. And basically what happens is, unless you have like the state Senate or the state House controlled by one or another party, you're never going to have different ideas. What you'll have is all our Republican bills that are introduced are going to get killed. Yeah. The only ones to be talked about are the Democrat bills. And so only ones that the governor has to even think about is the Democrat bills. So I would say, look at the state Senate. I would say, put on the ballot something to triple the size of the state Senate, and then have that each district have three people running at the same time. And so what that would do is that would give that kind of ownership better in the state Senate to land size, because that's what the state Senate is supposed to be. State Senate is land size. It keeps the balance for those ranchers, the farmers, the people who actually make Colorado work, the essential workers, right? People who aren't just a laptop generation like myself. And then hopefully we could get Republicans to win the state Senate if we like, especially had like a approval voting system where you have these multi-member districts, and then you have more likely that you're going to elect Republicans because you're going to have like Weld County and these larger land areas elect Republicans. Once that happens, you then have a base to build from, because what the Democrats have been doing is, you've probably heard like Emerge, right?
Right.
The training program where they get women into this program. They say, hey, get into different spots in your local government, whether it's just a volunteer position. And so the Emerge graduate, who's now our mayor in Broomfield, I ran against her in 2017. She worked her way up from city council member to mayor pro tem to mayor, and then they'll have somebody to run for house when the guy is term limited.
Well, and so, they do it in Westminster. Yeah, in Westminster, it's even worse. What they do is they get the Emerge candidates in city council, then they decide to run for for state representative. So they quit, and then they appoint the person, another Emerge candidate, to be the next city council member. And then they do that. Then they jump over and like Faith Winter into the state Senate. Yeah. Right. And so then they appoint somebody to take their place. So they avoid the voters altogether. You know, they just kind of jump around like that.
Well, that's what happened to CD7, right? So CD7, you have Heroin Barbie. So she was a state house member, I think, first, and then state Senate. And then they're like, hey, we'll have our Democrat guy, Perlmutter, resign.
Right.
And then we'll have Pedersen step in. And so now there's no primary, right? So the whole thing about this is the consultant class are upset about the Republican primary.
Because they can't control it. Because that's pesky voters.
Yeah. And do the Democrats even have a primary?
No.
There are like no primaries whatsoever. Right. There was one Democrat on the ballot.
Yes. Yes.
So if the system is working for the Democrats, why are we still using that system trying to reform it in more pro-democracy terms? That's my problem.
Yeah. Well, and one other thing too, though, I would say, and some people may disagree with me on this, but you know, look at Fetterman, right? Who was elected in Ohio.
No, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. I mean, they voted for him. I mean, I get upset when somebody starts telling me that we need to get more electable candidates. I mean, I kind of understand sometimes what they're saying, particularly if I'm for the person they're talking about, right? But if I'm not, the problem is, well, who defines electable? And I think too often electable means somebody who has enough money to pay the consultants and is going to do what the donor class wants them to do. Electable has nothing to do. And I'm like, if you know what, if the people want to elect a horrible candidate, then they get, you know, you get what you vote for, basically, and they should be able to do that. And we should have.
Well, but you have to realize that once the Democrats get their hands on the machinery, they rig it. In Colorado, candidates don't matter. The Democrats will say, "Who cares? We can elect a dog." Yeah, okay. And if you ballot harvest, and you know, I was one of the originators of ballot harvesting in Colorado, It went from, you know, your candidate was incredibly important, going to people who voted very often and convincing them, and they're usually the brightest and the most well informed. It went none. It's, you're picking up ballots. People aren't voting anymore. You're picking up ballots, and one side picks up. You have no chance if your side does not ballot harvest and the other side does. You have no chance. No chance. And in any kind of, you know, unless it's a 90% Republican thing or something. And it doesn't matter. Even when you go to an apartment house, hold a party, and get 600 people to vote for your candidates, they don't even know who the candidates are. You don't even introduce them. You don't bother.
I think the main thing is that word you were talking about, electable.
Yeah.
It's, a definition is the key.
Right.
So most of the time when I hear electable, what I'm actually hearing is principally flexible.
Which means corrupt, in other words.
People say, I mean, you can have all kind of different definitions, but I always like to just, in my head, when I hear electable, I flip it to flexible. Because they want to be able to say, hey, I have no idea how politics works. I don't know the slightest thing.
I'm an outsider.
About the North Korean, South Korean border. Please, Mr. Consultant, tell me what to say, and I'll say whatever you want.
Right. Oh, but give money to Ukraine. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, if you don't have any principles except for those that you're being paid to have, you know, I mean, look what's happened to the country. That's a good way to put it, Carl. It's like principally flexible. That's a polite way to put it.
but I mean, you're kind of for Roe v. Wade, but you're kind of not for Roe v. Wade.
Conservative, right?
Right.
And so I say that principled conservatives are still electable. I think the key is if they have no experience, because we don't have a base, right? We haven't put them in a place. We haven't bothered to. All the money that was spent on Joe O'Dea winning, it takes tiny little fractions of the money here and there, get someone on the RTD board, get someone on the local city council race, get place them like the Emerge program has.
Right.
Place these conservatives, then you can understand who's electable or not, because someone will step up. Someone will say, home Hitlers are homeschool moms.
Right.
Right. That guy is not electable. Right.
But
that's
he won.
Process.
But he won.
The primary didn't fix it.
It's a multifaceted kind of thing. But again, I think it is, to me, what people need to be aware of, though, Campfire Colorado did not print this editorial suggesting that we go to an all pay to play, pay to vote, pay to run, get rid of the caucus, turn the assembly into simply an endorsement thing. I mean, like you said, this changes the definition of electable to money. That's all it is. If you don't, no matter what your principles are or how flexible your principles are, if you can't give the Colorado State Republican Party $250,000, you don't get on the ballot to be governor. I mean, that's just insanity.
Well, as a practical matter, Campfire Colorado is flexible. I mean, they're as flexible as you can get. And they're a breakoff of Caddo Peak Politics, who is also
flexible.
Incredibly flexible. In fact, there's no one left in the Republican Party other than one or two that are anything but flexible. I mean, they're pathetic. They're pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, like, IDing unaffiliated voters is great. That's super important. But the thing is how do we get that money? I would say figure out some way to siphon off some of this money that's spent on completely ineligible candidates. You cannot elect to U.S. Senate a Republican in the next 30 years or something like that, because right. you need to build up that electable candidate who is so well known and so well liked. Like, find the Republican John Hickenlooper.
Right. Well, they, I mean, get the ballots. I mean,
no, they found him. He was called Pete Coors, and he couldn't win. Everybody yeah. knew him. Yeah. Everybody liked him. But, everybody thought he was wonderful. He yeah. didn't win.
But why do they spend money on flashy ad campaigns when take some of that money spent on the 2024 and put that into IDing unaffiliated voters so that every county party for the Republican Party knows exactly where the unaffiliated voter falls. So right. that when they need to elect their RTD board person, their city council right. member, county commissioner,
they can knock on their door and get their ballot. Yeah. yeah. Right. Well, and you know, and here's, and again, yeah, he kind of throws in there, oh yeah, we need to clean up our voter rolls. It's like, well, how are you going to do that? I mean, the Secretary of State's office isn't going to do that. But yeah, well, I mean, it is. So it just, and it goes back to Carlin, you know, I know again, the Democrats would be like going, yay, because there's nothing. I mean, it would be hard for Greg Lopez to come up with $250,000 to even get on the ballot. I mean, that's not why.
I know, but then he has to go to Phil Anschutz.
Well, exactly. I mean, or Catherine Murdoch, right? Or better, she could go to a Democrat and the Democrats could say, you know, we'll fund you. I mean, $5,000 to be a county candidate in order to, I mean, I know I work for some of the county candidates in Adams County. Like $5,000 is a lot of money. That's to get even on the ballot, not alone. I mean, that's just craziness. And again, I think the only person it serves, I guess if you're the head of the Republican Party, you could probably boost your salary a little bit. I mean, you have to hire a few more people to handle all this money flooding in.
Yeah. So he also mentions, should they win a primary election by Labor Day? So that would shift in Colorado, our primary election system where we have June 30th to Labor Day. That is a horrible idea because you do not want to be campaigning from Labor Day to like mid-October.
Right.
No, you want to have your candidate figured out. June 30th is too late. Like, that's the whole thing. If you close the primaries and you can run a Republican primary in February, do that, and you've got a whole, 6 months to ID your unaffiliated voters. But the problem is he wants to put the money in and hope that we ID the unaffiliated voters. No.
Well, if he was such a good campaign manager, how come in a relatively competitive district, did he manage to lose so badly?
Eric
Alden gets squashed. Everybody's like, oh, Eric's a great candidate. Well, Eric wasn't a very good candidate. He voted for him.
I think abortion was huge in Colorado. And so I think that what the Supreme Court did, if they had done it 1 year later, it would have made things very different across the United States. And in Colorado, I think it would have made a difference. But at the same time, I think that maybe like an approval voting system where you could have people compete better in terms of like, the other thing about this doesn't talk at all about the public image. So public image right now is Republican versus Democrat. And so the only conversation you can have is, what is your position on abortion? Republican versus Democrat. Now, if you had somebody like my friend Brian, so in the U.S. Senate race, right, there was Libertarian candidate Brian Piotr, there was Joe O'Dea and Michael Bennett, right? So Brian Piotr was the Libertarian candidate. So Libertarian Party decided we're not going to support any other candidate except for Brian Piotr because we got limited resources, right? We're a small third party. They would not host a single debate with Brian Piotr any of the other O'Dea or Bennett. So you've got people who watch TV are very likely to vote because they're kind of the older, right?
Right.
Us millennials, we like to
they're watching TV in the first place, right?
So to get to the voters and discuss topics, we're allowed to discuss Joe O'Dea versus Michael Bennett. That does not represent Colorado. That represents 25% of Colorado voters combined. The rest, they might like to see a different viewpoint, right? So give them a different viewpoint. Make us a Libertarian Party doesn't spoil it. And then have that debate so that the Democrat sounds like the outsider and the like strange, like, wait a second. Like,
yeah, we don't want to kill babies right after they're born. Well, you know, a part of me would, I don't know that there are that many voters that are one issue. I still think the biggest problem Colorado has, or the two biggest, are the motor voter. I mean, I think that's where the mass majority of unaffiliated voters come from. I would submit that a significant percentage of them don't even know they're registered, right? They have no, that's why they're unaffiliated, not because they chose, they just were automatically registered. And who knows if the ballot even goes to their address. I mean, you look at some of the work the Omega people have been doing where they talk about in certain counties going through the databases and like literally finding zip codes change. So ballots are deliberately sent out to the wrong place. And then so they're returned as undeliverable, then zip codes are changed back. I mean, to me, when he talks about identifying unaffiliated voters, that's true. And what we need to do is, number one, get the ones who aren't real voters off the rolls. And then also step two, like
you got to get
their ballots.
Yeah, go get the people who don't exist ballots. Adams County, went all Republican in 2014, all Republican. In 2018, lost every race. Every race, the demographics of Adams County didn't change. The issues didn't change. Only one thing changed: massive ballot harvesting. Well, no, they had 2014. They had all mail ballots,
okay.
But they didn't have ballot harvesting. Ballot harvesting, Republicans just don't get that it is the single most effective one. And it doesn't matter your candidate. It doesn't matter anything else. And the Republicans go, oh, we've had this debate on this program. So we should all go vote on election day. I mean, that's the dumbest strategy ever invented by the dumbest people in dumbest party. I mean, in Arizona, they figured out, they just jam the machines. Here in Adams County, what they do is they send in Democrats who spend an hour voting. So they jam it up and stuff. I mean, and nobody gets it. Nobody kind of figures out
they've written,
because it's happened in other states. But then you get morons like Ken Buck who tells you we've got the gold standard of voting.
Oh, because he got elected.
The gold standard for Democrats, you fool.
Well,
just incredible.
Where do you see, Carl? Because I think how does all of this play out? These two new parties, which I think there is an ulterior motive, right? This isn't just Andrew Yang saying, I'm story-eyed and I think that we should all be one or something like that. These are people who, again, like you said, we can't out-progressive the Democrats, but there is a method, a motive behind their methodology. And what do you think that is?
You know, I would go ahead and talk to the No Labels Party because I bet they'd be willing to talk to you guys in terms of you've got this guy, Roger Hudson, and Tony Mayer.
No!
Isn't
he a former Republican, Roger Hudson? There's a couple of them. There's different spellings of it.
President CEO of HRM Resources 4?
I don't know. I wonder if they'd be willing to tell us where their money's coming from, though.
Well, and so the whole thing is, I don't know what No Labels is planning on doing, but I can imagine that they really are just going to give up on certain Republican candidates. And so I bet they're just going to decide, you know what, if we can use the No Labels Party, we don't need to run a Joe O'Dea who says, I'm not a Republican/Republican, right? That's what his campaign ad I remember seeing was like, I'm not going to vote with the Republicans. I'm independent. If they get the No Labels Party, they don't have to even put their money behind a Republican candidate like Joe O'Dea. They can just say, no chance Joe O'Dea is going to win. Let's run a Joe O'Dea under the No Labels Party.
So you're saying they being the Democrats.
I'm just saying the wealthy, because it kind of goes back to
the good point. Good point. The establishment, the global elites. Okay, you're right.
Tony Mayer had a 35-year career with JP Morgan, right? So I think I'd probably call him a banker, right? Right. Banker with 35-year career with J.P. Morgan.
Right.
So he's not going to think like a grassroots college conservative.
He's probably flexible when it comes to principles.
But not money.
I don't know. I think the thing is, I don't see Tony Mayer, obviously in this case, Tony Mayer has his name on the, so you can go to nolabels.org.
Okay.
/state-co-chairs, or you can just Google no labels state co-chairs.
Okay.
And then look for Colorado, and you'll see they've got four different people who are co-chairs.
I can tell you this right now. I mean,
that many co-chairs. Five.
Having watched Ted Trimpa, our Democrat strategist friend, this is exactly what, when you've got something that's going on in multiple states at once, you know, that's a Democrat operative, Democrat operation, like Democracy Alliance and stuff like that. They have so many, that would be my guess on something like this.
Republicans don't have the money.
They
got to give it to the defense contractors for the Ukrainians.
Yeah. So my guess would be whenever you see, sort of like with the getting rid of the Electoral College, they come up with some fancy name that sounds nice. And then it turns out, no, it's all funded by you know, Democrat billionaires and things like that. And so if this is going on in other states too, and Colorado is always the Petri dish, and then it works, right? And they grow this giant monster out of the Petri dish that eats Republicans.
Well, because you don't have a Republican Party that fights for anything.
Yeah.
It's controlled by Phil Anschutz, although he never appears, but he controls every item. And he's getting left, farther left. Colorado politics is farther left than the Denver Post now.
Well, it's the same people. So,
yeah.
Well, let me call, because we're running out of time. Final question just to kind of give you some, you know,
is there a good alternative to democracy?
Yeah.
because this isn't working out.
That's in charge.
Representative government, the Republican form of government. That's what Republican used to mean in terms of like, just like a political theory. The Republican Party was formed because Abraham Lincoln was the railroad guy. The railroad wanted to have a party. But if you think of a Republican form of government, the representative keep the caucus system, have a true caucus system you have people campaign for president and they're like, hey, you know, I'll run in my caucus to go to the state level to then send people on to be an unpledged delegate. Do that. That was one interesting thing that Patterson said. Hey, let's have unpledged delegates. Great. Use the caucus system to get your unpledged delegates to then vote for whoever it is. If somebody drops out, we have this in 2012. You had delegates drop out. I'm sorry, not drop out. There was a Republican who dropped out right before the state assembly. And so the delegates then could be flexible. And if someone else dropped out, they could be, hey, you know, you voted for me to represent you. This guy dropped out, this candidate. So therefore, I'll vote for, you know, whoever it is.
Right.
Romney, Ron Paul, whatever.
And I hate that we've run out of time here. Our dog is barking, the doorbell's ringing. It's like Party Friday. It's like, Carl, you have been wonderful.
Yeah, been
thank
great,
you.
Carl.
I Thanks appreciate so your time. I appreciate Thank the you. Research and the work that you do.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
You too. Yeah, 2023 will be great.
All right,
okay.
That's right.
Care.
I want to remind everybody, a couple things coming up on Monday, we're going to have Brian Junedep is coming on. He's going to talk. We had a great column in American Thinker about just, you know, who watches the watchers, the deep state, things like that. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but they made an arrest in the Idaho murders case. And it turns out it was done pretty much exactly the way Mark Poff said it was going to be done. So we're going to have him on, too, to kind of talk
the
about that. Well, this the investigation. Yeah, Mark didn't plan the murder. He just planned the investigation. Hey, that was going to remember, chuckandjulie.com is where you can get everything and links to all of our shows. I want to say thank you to the great guys at BBS.
It's been great all year. You've been just wonderful, and it's been such a pleasure to work with you guys.
Exactly. And everybody who joined us on Zoom, I cannot tell you how much we appreciate all of you guys. Anyone ever wants to join us on Zoom, I usually put on our Facebook page the Zoom meeting number so you can do that. But also, everyone who just listens to it, it's just, this has been a great year. We've had a lot of growth this year.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. I know we're like, Chuck is like, oh no, we're doomed.
We're doomed,
but it's going to be in a good way. No, I'm kidding.
It's a good doomed year.
Happy Party Friday, the happiest of New Year's to everybody.
And ballot harvest.
And I always love saying this, like the little kids. We'll see you next year. Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.